Today I wanted to talk about heroes, both the fictional ones and the ones we have in real life, and the problems with both of those things.
Okay. All right. So give me an idea what you're looking at now.
Well, I really feel that sometimes the fictional characters can be much more powerful and even to a certain extent much more real than our, you know, true to life actual like heroes. Like, in my opinion, I feel like Cliff Huxtable is far more powerful than Bill Cosby could ever be.
Well, currently, yeah, at least as of now, yeah. I see what you're getting at. So you're thinking that fictional characters can't let you down, where real people are real people and can eventually be revealed to be disgusting people.
Yeah, I mean, there's that old adage of never meet your heroes, right. And you can't get further away from that than characters of fiction.
I think you told me about a certain quote from a certain author that suggests otherwise, that fictional heroes maybe shouldn't be someone we all look up to.
Yeah, this isn't something that just one author said, though. Like, that one in particular was Stephanie Meyer.
All right, we're done. No, but what was it? What was the thing?
Well, they brought up a lot of the problems they had with the characters from Twilight, to which her response was pretty much, well, they're fictional characters. You shouldn't be looking up to these people anyway. To which I felt was, no, I don't agree with that. And I feel like that's an out for a lot of different creators, not just this one author in particular. I'm not going to throw Stephanie Meyer under the bus again.
Right. You did that once, and then there's a restraining order against you. I don't know if that's fair. I don't think that's a... I don't know if that's a right answer. Because, like, I think in that case, and I don't know the context of this Stephanie Meyer quote, and we should probably stop referencing Stephanie Meyer. There are situations where you wouldn't want to have a fictional character as your hero. For example, anybody who likes... maybe Deadpool too much is probably wrong, right? I would think so. You know, I think there are certain fictional heroes people identify. A lot of times when people say, like, oh, they'll copy that behavior. You don't want people copying the behavior they see in their fictional characters. I think that's when they're saying you shouldn't keep these guys as your heroes, right?
Yeah, there's a line between enjoying a character and emulating a character.
Oh, Rick from Rick and Morty, right? Rick should not be someone you emulate, right? He should not be your hero. But I think that's a different argument than you should not have fictional characters as your heroes.
Mine personally?
Anybody's, really.
Oh.
No one's at all.
I mean, I would definitely say that is a different argument. You're right. Like, we're talking about whether or not these characters in particular are heroes, or even if their behavior is something to emulate. Not, the problem isn't with them being fictional. The problem is with them, who they are as characters.
Yeah, we're not talking about the scumbags who are heroes. We're talking about characters who are heroic or nice or someone you can to make into an ideal. There's probably a word for that.
Icon?
There's...
Idolize?
That's the word. That's the one I was looking for. Thank you, Pete.
You're welcome.
To make into an idolize. Those characters, should they be... are those worth more than real-world people who are at least real? I don't know. That's
a good
argument.
Should we not try to emulate Superman in the way that he treats other people simply because he's a fictional character?
Right. All right.
Well, I feel like there's an issue in that. I think people are bringing a con to the fact that, like, heroes in any sense are fallible, so they're focusing on the fact that, like, that a fictional character has these problems, people were hating them, and in certain contexts the author will be like, no, you shouldn't like this character, you should like somebody else in real life, like a firefighter or a cop or something to that effect. But really, on either end, there's faults and there's issues you shouldn't exactly follow around for each character.
That's definitely true. But my big thing is that how well can you really know those people? Like, I mean, yes, a firefighter saving someone from a building, and that, yes, that's heroic, that's commendable, that's, like, something that, like, we should all aspire to be like, to be the type of person that would save another person. But I have no idea who that guy is. I don't spend intimate time with him.
I can tell you right now, I know of a few firefighters who were reported in news articles recently. I'm glad we're using firefighters as opposed to police officers, which I think is a little bit more on the nose.
Yeah.
But even a firefighter, who typically are not necessarily the public servants that people are most j'accuse on, even then, I know of a few who have recently been involved in arson cases or criminal activity or whatever. Like, I know that I think there was a recent kidnapping that was done by a firefighter. Obviously... yeah, you don't know. Real people have real lives, and you can't necessarily
predict. Firefighter might go home and kick his puppy.
Right.
And I think that's one of the one-ups that fictional characters have. As weird as this sounds, to a certain extent, they can be more real than any of these real people are. I'm inside this person's head. I know what their struggles are. I know the truth of the situation because I'm allowed it. I'm never going to have that with anybody in real life. Like, and, you know, unless I'm like, they're like my best friend, which at that point, like, I mean, you know, they're your best friend at that point. Your best friend could be your hero, I guess.
Yeah, but no, I think even then you will find out something about your best friend that you did not expect.
That's fair, actually. Yeah, yeah. It's completely true.
Yeah, I feel like there's a certain element of transparency that you don't get in a real-life person where you literally get to know everything they've ever done.
Certainly, yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on the fictional character and universe, right?
The thing about a fictional character is they are as heroic, as unblemished as the writer chooses to portray them. So there's a control there that you don't necessarily have as the idolizer.
Yeah,
but the creator has.
Well, I'm saying two different. Well, I am saying a specific thing. I'm saying that it depends on the genre or the area it is. It's piggybacking on what Pete just said. But like, if it's a comic book character, there's a reason why you get a lot of people who are very angrily screaming at the internet when a character they loved and that is beloved is changed by the most recent writer on the project, because these things are not set into stone. And then that's what is it? Oh, Captain Hydra. Right? Captain America is a character that is important to a lot of people and is iconic for a lot of people. And turning him as Captain Hydra, even by many people, I assume, who've not read the comic, and some who have and have legitimate issues, it was devastating. Almost as devastating as finding out a celebrity you really like turns out to be a jerk in reality.
It's a big problem when you have ongoing fictions.
Yeah.
Such as comic books or professional wrestling.
Yeah.
When back in the 90s, when Hulk Hogan turned from the say your vitamins, eat your prayers.
Keep it.
Say your vitamins, eat your prayers. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, Hulkster. And turned into the villainous Hollywood Hulk Hogan. That was earth-shattering for a lot of young Hulk Hogan fans.
Yeah, but how much more earth-shattering was it when he became Hulk Hogan, the real-world person who has some, let's say, unsavory things to say about people of particular... I can't even
that's
say it because I don't
want
to end up being gawkered.
That's entirely like a unique situation there, because Hulk Hogan is a real person rather than Captain America.
Right.
But yeah, it's a very interesting thing. It's a lot more easy to control in novels or standalone movies where a hero may only exist for the span of that story.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I do have an alternative for that one. How about when time itself ends up screwing with you? So you're watching a movie or reading a book from a decade ago, 2 decades ago, 3 decades ago, whatever, and suddenly the stuff that passed back in the day is incredibly suspect now. I don't know why this is the first thing that came into my mind, because certainly even early, like, think of any character from any sitcom in the 90s, any Friends character, JD from Scrubs. These people are scumbags. They're just not nice people, even though the things that they had done at the time didn't seem that bad. But afterwards, you're now looking at it and you're like, you're off. For example, and I've brought this up in a recent episode on this network, Jim and Pam on The Office, this was emotional infidelity in that relationship when Pam was almost getting married. It's not clear that it's good, and it takes time to see it.
Volumes have been spoken on the internet about the fact that Zach Morris is
trash.
Not a good guy.
Oh, God.
Going to plug.
Oh, it's worth it. Zach Morris's Trash is a wonderful web series that you need to watch. But yeah, there's a lot of examples. And then there's bigger ones, like, for example, or harder to pin ones, like John Carter of Mars, right? John Carter of Mars is unequivocally the hero of his story. And he is a white person who enters into a pretty obvious Native American pastiche alien world and is better at everything they do than they are.
Well, sure, that's one way of reading it.
Yeah, and it's hard not to read it that way. So you look at these things and you're like, oh, this is kind of, there's a little dull. And there's a lot of other stories that are less vague than even that. Anything where there's a yellow peril villain, right? If your hero becomes a hero opposite a yellow peril villain, it feels weird. It feels weird to modern reading, and that's a character that isn't being changed in the text, just the world around it. The subtext changes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's placed all the time in older Disney movies where stereotypes just come out in the worst possible ways, like Lady and the Tramp, and you get the Siamese cats, which are very obviously a slant against Asians, or, you know, things of that nature, where it's, like, scary that you have these, you know, characters you can idealize, but also kind of slant at people.
I think a fun version of this is when people try to remix Disney movies now and say, you know, Scar was right. Scar was just trying to feed his people. It's a little ridiculous, I think. But at some point or another, yeah, the cracks.
The murder thing was a little harsh.
Yeah,
though.
You can't. Like, I was about to use the wicked stepmother in Snow White. Like, yeah, that's kind of hurtful that the stepmother is evil. But, like, I get that's a hurtful stereotype in general, but she was legit trying to kill her daughter.
That particular stepmother happened to be evil.
I like to see this press release we have to
it's all right for us, like, this one was evil. Not all of them, but this one in particular. I guess the thing is, end of the day, for those brief moments in comic book history or any ongoing story, to a certain extent, they do always seem to bring it back around. But looking at Hydra Cap did come back and become Captain America again by the end of that story. People always seem to play with the idea of, well, what if this was bad, or at least have some semblance of an argument or an idea or some
so
back and forth.
So what's
on
your
it.
Thing for John Carter? When does he become acceptable again? When
I
you make a Disney movie and you kind of downplay his white saviorness?
No, I think the answer to that is we still have more books. We still have more films. Like, while those die off and we don't look at them anymore, new heroes seem to arise that can take up the mantle that were left behind by those that, you know, couldn't take it up any longer. And that's not necessarily true with real people. Like,
if we're not getting any more new people.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you can't find someone that can necessarily all of a sudden take up your you know, childhood icon, the man you wanted to be like when growing up. That person's like, you can't all of a sudden just replace that with, like, some other person.
No, I think that's equivalent. I don't think so. I think if you lose a fictional hero, because now that you look at it, you're like, oh, this is a little iffy. I don't know about this whiny man baby that I thought was a cool character. I don't even know who I'm thinking of right now. Oh, God. Adam Warlock. Whatever. Like, whoever it happens to be that you really dislike as a hero now, you're as an adult. Oh, my God. All the grimdark heroes from the 90s,
yeah,
that I was, like, way into as a kid. I'm not like, no. Compared to all the skateboarder heroes and professional bicyclists that I may have been heroes with, like, when they're gone, they're gone. There's new athletes that can replace them easily. But, yeah, I think that is an equivalent. I don't know. So you look at somebody like Bruce Jenner, transitioning into Caitlyn Jenner. I'm sure there were people who were big fans of Bruce Jenner who are unable to get over the mental block or their own prejudices and accept her through the transition. That's going to be a problem for them dealing with a real world hero. And then there's people who would support a prolific, high profile person going through what they're going through, what she's going through. And say they support transgender rights and visibility and feel the conflict of realizing that Caitlyn Jenner does not, in fact, support political figures who in turn support transgender equality.
Yeah.
So, like, you're caught in this, like, mental loop where, like, I support the person, but not their politics, but that doesn't matter because it's not supposed to. The two things don't have to go hand in hand. I think with real world heroes, you're more nuanced in what you have to accept. That's not always true of people, but yeah. I think it's better for people. I'm waiting in paralyzed fear for the day somebody releases something horrible about Mr. Rogers, because that's going to destroy. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a psycho bomb. It's going to destroy so many people. Their minds are just going to be wiped if it ever happens.
No way. Mr. Rogers is pure.
See?
There's only two pure heroes left in the world. Mr. Rogers and Harambe.
Okay.
But, I mean, I guess it's to a certain
if we
extent
find
like
out that Mr. Rogers is the sniper who killed Harambe. That's going to happen.
No, that was Bob Ross.
Oh, good.
But no, I understand that idea of, like, it is nuanced. And thankfully, a lot of our fictional characters are getting the same semblance of nuance. And I'm not saying it equates out to the exact same thing, But it means something that a lot of them are experiencing a lot more realistic interpretations. But again, I don't know.
Listen, in terms of fictional characters, Superman is a hero of mine. I love Superman, he's hitting all the points you say, including the periods where he's, you know, grimdark and has long hair and a blue jumpsuit
and a weird
with
gun
electric thing on his head. Like, there's a lot of crappy versions, but there's a core Superman who can help you, like Pete said at the top of this, you know, think, like, treat people the way Superman would treat people. I think that there's a lot of value in that. And what's part and parcel with that value is the idea that Superman can do things you cannot. And that is a lot of burden you can put on yourself, depending on what kind of hero worship you're doing. You can put yourself in a position where you're setting expectations so high for yourself that you're never going to get it, because this is a fictional character, not a real person. At least with a real person, you are in the world of reality. My final thought on it, that's where I'm coming on, is I think people should have less heroes. I don't think you should have heroes. I don't think you should be, at least you shouldn't have people you idolatrize. Certainly not me for my pronunciation ability, but I don't think you shouldn't have too much stake in people outside of yourself. I don't think it's good or healthy.
My final thoughts, I guess, on the subject are pretty much that if we're going to continue with the idea of Superman, I think you need to have someone to aspire to be. And I'm not that maybe less is more, probably, but to a certain extent, I feel like in your life, when there's a lack of people to aspire to be like, if you're growing up around, like, not necessarily people close to you aren't people you think you should be like, and, you know, your reality is seemingly lacking, then you should look to someone who at the end of the day will be the light that you follow. And that's one of the core aspects of that character in general, is the idea of not necessarily be this person, but be the light that shows them the way. And I think that's important. No matter what, even if you have a fictional or real life superhero, if anybody can be that at some point in their life to you, try your best to hold on to that.
I think the important thing is to try, right? That's ideal. I don't know if that's hero worship, but it's definitely good to have goals.
To be clear, I was saying that Mr. Rogers was the sniper who killed Bob Ross.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.